Yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo.
Hey.
I'm Addy.
Oh, I jumped the gun a little there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe you
were nervous. Yeah, it's kind of like last night. I did the same with your mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The gun.
The gun. The gun. The one.
It went off prematurely. I'm Mo.
There you go. Yes. That's how he introduces himself to his dates.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me getting you pregnant. I'm probably going to come in my pants before I even get to the bed.
It's true. That's true. Or the restaurant.
Really? Yeah. Well, no, you don't pick up. I pick up these girls in back alleys, not restaurants.
That's true. I was going to say you pick up the check, and I was going
to
laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get to this some fucking wrestling.
Some wrestling. How about that?
let's start off, as usual, talking about Raw.
Raw was war.
It was war between me and my eyes staying awake for most of it.
Yeah.
3 hours, folks.
I thought that CM Punk did a great job in that opening promo.
I thought CM Punk's performance was good all night.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, that opening promo with Jerry Lawler, and you want to fight me, Jerry? You want to fight me, Jerry? And just, you know, the way he went and talked about, you're an announcer, and it was great. And then he leaves, and Jerry Lawler goes, I'll think about it. I was like, oh, and that was stupid.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh.
It is, to me, my problem with this whole thing is, how seriously can I take, when I know that Jerry Lawler phones it in most weeks at the announce table, how seriously can I take him in the ring?
Well, but we continue to go back to 97 Bret Hart with CM Punk, is that he's right. Like, when Lawler's talking, he's just basically like, I'm siding with Punk.
Yeah.
Like, everything, and it's a total opposite reaction to what they want. They're like, oh, listen to Jerry, he's the voice of reason. And it's like, everything Lawler says, not everything Lawler says, but Lawler says, he's talking. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's probably borne out by the fact that the crowd, when Punk came out, gave him a major baby face reaction. Yeah.
CM Punk.
Yeah, and not only that, but I'm not sure if it's next week or the following. How long is it until the next event here?
I think it's the 16th. So, well, not this weekend, not next weekend, the following one. I think.
And then within this, there's two Raws left before it airs. Is that right, then?
Yes. To one, a Labor Day Raw and another one.
Okay, at which point then I believe they're going to... One of them, I think, is in Chicago. Right before they go to Boston.
I think they're in Chicago this week.
Yeah, I think so, too. And guess what? You're not going to get the heel reaction. He's going to – and if he comes out – and he did this before. Even before he cut the whole Punk promo over a year ago, he would have to go to Chicago, heal the crowd during commercial breaks, do everything he can to turn them, and still get the babyface reaction in Chicago. And that was before his latest surge of popularity and rise to stardom to the next level, which he's achieved.
The pipe bomb.
Yeah. So there is absolutely no way he doesn't. There's nothing. Nothing.
No. And The Rock means.
Nothing short of beating up Mike Ditka that he can do to get a heel reaction. And even then, I don't know if that would do it.
And I don't know if you're talking about Mike Ditka, but what they could do is Dick Butkus.
Yeah, they could, but I don't think that won't do it.
Was he not a former XFL commissioner?
He was the XFL commissioner, and wasn't he? He was a special guest referee at WrestleMania or something.
WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, there you go.
The NFL and the Battle Royal thing. Him and like Ed Too Tall Jones. Right.
You think I should know this since I wrote a blog on it?
You wrote the column, yes. WeTalkWrestling.com, everyone. Memories lasting ages.
So the point is, though, I mean, he's not going to get that heel reaction when he goes to Chicago. He's going to get a massive baby face reaction again, even bigger. And Cena's going to get booed out of the building. And if they try and present this as a Chicago versus Boston thing, so Boston will cheer for Cena, I still don't think that's going to happen either.
I think that's what they're going to do. I think that's what they have in their head. That I get that feeling that that's what they want to do. Is so pro punk, and they're going to be to the point where, well, Boston supported Star like Chicago has supported it, and da ba da. It won't
work.
What I'm interested in really is, and what I'm actually hopeful is that Chicago just boos the shit out of Lawler.
Yeah.
And they try to babyface Lawler with an interview or something to do it, and they just boo the fuck out of
him. I think that's highly probable.
That would be...
Damn fine chance of that.
I will tune in for that.
Yeah, no, I think there's a damn fine chance of that. Not only that, but this reminds me of, not to the same degree, but you can't just turn somebody... you could turn... Andre was super popular, but you could turn him heel if he did something heelish in his day. It was a different era.
Yeah.
In this day and age, you can't just have Steve Austin do something heelish, a super heelish at WrestleMania 17, and have the crowd take to it if they don't want to cheer or boo him. And the crowd doesn't want to boo CM Punk.
The thing is, and I don't even go back to what the crowd wants. It's the fact, when you say it's a different era, and it's an era of live television. Mm-hmm. Versus an era of being able to can and manipulate the crowd via tape, because you're taping things, you know, 6 weeks ahead, a month ahead, whatever you're doing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, so those are the – and you have less – one pay-per-view a year, maybe four at most back then, right? So it was, it was easier.
It was easier, but also was an era where you really – a heel was a heel and a baby face is a baby face.
And a bitch is a bitch, and we all know.
But
a hoe is a hoe. Yeah. Oh,
so how's your mom?
Ho.
So, anyways, yeah.
Tough guy.
Had to be. I survived that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you didn't send me you sent me a text asking me when we were going to get on. I was going to send a text back saying, give me 5 more minutes to finish fucking your mom and I'll be ready to do the show. But I forgot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is why your computer crashed.
Pretty much. So, yeah, well, I mean, I forgot I was fucking your mom. I said, mind tends to wander.
She forgot, too.
No, she didn't feel a thing.
Hot dog and away.
But that's it. The crowd doesn't want to boo Punk. So this whole heel turn, even though there was some psychology behind it, there wasn't enough, and it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they want Punk to be a babyface. They want Miz to be a heel. They want this, they want that. And unless you have an excellent storyline to back it up, you're just not going to be able to get it to go the way it is. And they're fighting an uphill battle. Not only that, but what happens when CM Punk gets cheered over The Rock? Now that's going to blow their fucking mind. But that's going to happen. Yeah.
It probably will. Yeah, exactly. That will blow their mind, and that will be tremendous.
Yeah. The only guy he could get a heel reaction, and even then it wouldn't be 100%, it'd probably be 70-30, is Steve Austin. Maybe The Undertaker.
Yeah, that's true. Taker would be the guy.
And Shawn Michaels. Those are the three, I'll say. Those are the three guys that they can maybe get a heel reaction. But even then, it would never be 100%. But The Rock, they won't get it. They're not going to get it against John Cena, not in Boston or anywhere else. They're not going to get it against Lawler. I mean,
Lawler?
Punk was an overbearing heel. Fuck, he was funny, though. The match was awful. The main event steel cage match. But he was funny, and he was good in his role. He was doing everything he could to make you not like him, and in doing that, he was making me like him.
Well, but Lawler, I mean, again, when you talk about being a legend in the business, I mean, Jesus Christ, I mean, he beat Bill Dundee and Dutch Mantel, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, how impressive is that? I mean, forget the fact that he beat Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. Oh?
Yeah, and Randy Savage.
Yeah, exactly. Forget that. That's nothing. Like,
you should. I would see. He's like, he's going on.
He's got pins over Bret Hart, even. You know.
He got cut off before he could say Papa Shango. I'm sure of it.
I'm positive.
I mean, Austin Idol. I mean, you know, anybody else you want to bring up?
No.
Tojo Yamamoto.
I don't want to bring him up at all, and he shouldn't have either. And that's the whole point. Like,
and even the thing when he's like, I think halfway through his sentence. he realized that if he had just said Andy Kaufman, hardly anybody would know what the fuck he was talking about. So he felt the need to be like, there was a comedian. He was a great comedian. He was one of the top comedians. His name was Andy Kaufman. It was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's just painful, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the end, I mean, you're damn right, I'll fight you. Like, he pulled it together at the end. That was great.
Yeah.
You know.
Because you he's know. Still able to hit that old school mentality of believe the moment and sell it. Mm-hmm. He's still able to do that. Yeah. But just, you know, and this should have had more build, I felt, too, to the cage match.
Well, and again, there was a Raw active.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm watching on my PVR and I'm flipping through to catch up and shit, but it's like all of a sudden it's like, literally just out of the blue, oh, AJ on the break said that this and put it up on the screen to say you can choose now.
Yeah.
Like, really? It's that meaningless that we're just going to go this route now? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck.
Yeah. No.
And then, I forgot until you said they want The Miz to be a heel. 75,862.1 times now, I've been to fucking see John Cena in the Miz fight. holy shit.
Yeah, heel or away.
I don't fucking care.
No shit.
It could be for, like, the winner gets to be Jesus. For real. And I wouldn't give a fuck. There is nothing I can do. There is nothing they can do to make me not just skip over that shit on my PBR.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still the same way. If they were to put, you know, Orton in the ring against Triple H or Cena, I'd feel the same way. It's just that there's a certain point where it's just like, it's been enough times. It's been enough times, right?
The thing is, with at least Orton and Cena, they haven't done it in a while. With Miz and Cena, it's like since he cut that promo originally, when he coined the phrase "I'm the Miz and I'm awesome," and you know, and started that, there has not been a break of more than a couple of months that these guys don't fucking have a match.
Yeah.
Like they're both gonna be injured, and they're gonna make them have a fucking match.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like. Just because it hasn't been, it's like the title needs to be defended every 30 days. Apparently these guys have to have a fucking match every 30 days.
Well, but see, it's not that they have to have a match every 30 days and you're sitting there going, I don't give a fuck. It's that they're going to have the exact same average match or below average, the exact same 1.5-star match every time.
The same match. Well, there is that,
that's
too.
That's the big deal. Like, if you can say to me, hey, do you want to watch Christopher Daniels wrestle AJ Styles tonight? I'll say, yeah. Do you want to watch it tomorrow night? Well, I'll say, yeah.
Let's talk about AJ Styles against Samoa Joe that way. Let's use that example.
Yeah, because this was on this week, and I couldn't fucking turn away from it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen them wrestle each other a million times. That's not it. It's that it's going to be the exact same really below-average match that doesn't mean anything, that they haven't put anything, any reason for me to give a shit about on the air. And that's it.
You know, I actually was thinking that watching Impact when I saw Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle and Joe and AJ, in that I've seen both of these matches, but this is still good.
Well, like three matches that they had, even the James Storm versus RVD match, I thought those guys brought it hard too. Like this was much like Me with Your Mom, beat you to it. There you go. But
you were like Rob Van Dam, sloppy.
But, no, all three matches were, it was like, this means something. It's to qualify for the Bound for Glory series. The Bound for Glory series means more than the Royal Rumble as far as the build and how much it means to win it now. It's the way they made it seem, right? They built it up like this larger-than-life thing through their promotion. And then you had three tremendous matches that occur. And yeah, I want to see it because this match is different than the last match I saw them have, and it means something, right? Mm-hmm. There's something on the line. Yeah. Whereas it's just Miz versus John Cena. Next week, we'll see Miz versus Rey Mysterio. Week after that, you know.
Miz against, I don't know, against Christian again. Yeah,
Week after Miz versus Alex Riley. What will happen? What will this continuing feud between Miz and John Cena, this even feud, this week, who will be the winner? I can't tell.
Did you know this at one point was the main event of WrestleMania?
No fucking kidding.
I know, yeah. Right?
It's like, I wish they had mentioned it.
They should have. They should have, fuckers. Yeah.
Just awful.
It was. Well, let's, it was. We've got two awful things. Let's go to, well, I guess an awful thing, a mediocre thing, and then let's go to the good of Raw.
Okay, give me your good thing.
Go to the good of Raw. The good of Raw is, Kane, start from your childhood.
It's good and bad. It's bad.
I spent my life I locked in the basement, and then I had psychological effects when my brother lit my parents on fire. I went around to mental institutions. Then I came back and I buried my brother twice.
Yeah.
Then my real father, whose name is Paul Bearer, I locked in a freezer.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend one time named Katie, and, well, that didn't turn out so well. That I fucking laughed at, and both meanings of that.
Yeah.
And for reasons unexplained, I have an unhealthy obsession with torturing Pete Rose.
Yeah. It was fun. It was funny.
It was very funny. I mean, Daniel Bryan at the beginning, when he goes, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, no, it was funny. It's probably a skit that really isn't good for the characters, but since nothing matters in WWE, who gives a fuck? It was entertained you for 5 minutes, right?
You know what? I think it was, I mean, again, Daniel Bryan is Daniel Bryan, and he's just showing that kind of flip side, and again, that's the kind of thing that, you're right, it doesn't help.
I put my socks, I noticed my other sock had a bunch of holes in it, so I ripped it and made the holes bigger, and now I can't wear it, so I took the other one off and put it on my hand and shoved it in your face.
I thought that was Howard.
Oh, yeah.
Scorpio Sky, Mason Andrews.
And guess the color of this sock, then.
Purple.
No, I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying about it. Now, Mason Andrews, Scorpio Sky, Howard, what was it, Howard?
Howard Harris or Harold or Howard Harold?
That's
Harold.
What it was, yeah. I thought it's actually
Harold or Howard.
Whatever. He didn't seem very angry to me. And I was like, why is he there? He doesn't seem that angry.
Well, his boss makes him angry, he said.
Yeah.
But so he, you know what it was he didn't get a contract, but Dakota Darso did.
You mean with TNA?
So made him angry.
Yeah, that would do it. Well, I mean, he would have gotten his contract if he had stuck around.
He would have, yeah. But I guess WWE really likes him, so
they put him on TV. They liked him in his dark match, apparently. Will he? Yeah, I mean, will he end up in developmental? Probably. Seems likely. It's not going to matter at all. But yeah, whatever. Good for him.
No, again. Yeah.
WWE's product isn't as good on air, I'd so much rather be WWE than TNA.
Well, and again, it's just for the paycheck, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you dream of being.
Well, it is. It's the same like we said as about Alex Shelley, right? Yeah. Grew up wanting to be a WWE superstar, not a TNA wrestler.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? But speaking of people that, you know, maybe better off in WWE or you know, that want to go to WWE versus TNA, the good Reverend.
Wait. Are we going to go to this without talking Triple H on Raw?
Oh, fuck. Forgot about him.
Apparently this segment really, really lit your world on fire. Give me your thoughts.
Okay. Well, before Raw even came on and there were rumblings of this, I wrote down on my notes here, Triple H versus Brock rematch. And underneath I wrote, fuck.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know what? I only slightly want to see that more than I want to see The Miz versus John Cena, and I've only seen it once.
Well, but that's all we ever need to see with Brock Lesnar at this point is ones and duns because, again, if they're going to do anything, and who knows now, the plans are, they may do this at Mania, and if they hold off and they only do Brock and Hunter the rematch at WrestleMania, I mean, I don't want to see it, but okay, Hunter can get his win back.
At Mania, you're right. Yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense, yeah.
Because Hunter getting his win back at the Survivor Series makes no sense.
No, he should lose again.
Yeah,
and he won't.
Exactly.
He won't.
You know,
because he's fucking Triple H.
But as looking at it objectively, is in terms of the story they're building, he shouldn't lose.
No, the story. Like this, but can they do three matches and have him lose the rubber match? Can they have a Survivor Series and a Royal Rumble, and that sets and he wins a Survivor Series and then a Royal Rumble he loses again, but then he at least comes out like a fighting baby face and not like a loser, and then Brock can go on to face Taker at fucking Mania.
You've seen Triple H, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it ain't happening. The next match, Hunter's winning, and then it's done.
Yeah, but then it's 1-1. It doesn't, storyline-wise, it's okay if they go in that direction. Or it's okay if Brock wins again. It's not okay if Triple H beats him. Because then what the fuck is Brock going to do if he has a third match against who, and what would it matter? The only person, then against Undertaker, doesn't matter at all. You know the only person who would matter is if Shawn decides he wants to personally take it out on his hide for what he did to him, too. That's it.
But that's, so the only thing left, again, is either, again, they look like they're going Brock and Hunter, right? This has to go to Mania then for it to be even salvageable.
Yeah.
Because if it's anything but, it's not. And they mean, again, it what they're probably, Hunter's probably in there pitching it like, we'll do this at the Survivor Series because Mania will be Mania. And they figure, well, Mania will sell on itself so it doesn't, you know, Brock will fight Taker, but Mania will sell itself, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, that's the angle they take, right?
Yeah.
If that's what they're gonna do. But who fucking knows? It's just when I heard the rematch, and then I watched Raw with the whole, you know, thank you, trying to fucking cry.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. He had what? He had 6 Band-Aids on his arm. Yeah, fuck. He had that stupid wrap thing.
Yeah.
Supposed to look like a cast.
Yeah, it was broken again, folks.
Fuck.
You know what? But here's the good thing about the idea of waiting till Mania is by then you can build up the anticipation for the rematch and people have forgotten how shitty the match was. And they will have built up the physicality and the legend of the match can grow bigger than the actual match actually was. So people will...
The thing was, we were more critical of the match than others were anyway. I mean, largely received, people didn't hate the match, right? And in overall,
I don't know about that. I don't think it translated well. I really don't.
I didn't like it either, but I didn't hear. All I'm saying is when you're hearing people talk about it,
there's no clear cut concise opinion about the match. It's not like everybody pretty much says that Cena and Lesnar was awesome. And there's not that opinion.
That's right. There isn't the opposite opinion.
No.
There isn't everybody saying it's crap.
Saying it's fucking Charmel versus Jenna Marosco either.
No, exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing. So
it's universally accepted.
I just think, everybody's kind of like, it was there, right? I don't think that's the kind of thing that will hurt.
Yeah. No, I mean, by the time WrestleMania comes around, I think people will think it's an epic rematch. Because they'll be conditioned to it long enough. And that's another good reason to go in this direction. But let me tell you something. If I would have said to you, the day after WrestleMania, we knew Brock was there. We didn't know what he was going to do, and I'm sitting on the fucking phone with you. And I say to you, Brock's going to be there for 1 year, man. It's going to be awesome. He's going to face John Cena next pay-per-view, then Triple H at SummerSlam, then Triple H at WrestleMania. Would you have said, fuck yeah, that's the best use of him. That's going to be awesome?
Well, I think so, yeah. Why would you? Oh, fuck. I mean, yeah, exactly. He's going to fight. Well, I mean, we're fucking go back to the archives. People can listen to the show that we talk, Fuck yeah! He's got Cena. He can fight Cena at SummerSlam. He can lead to it. Even before he was coming in, we're talking about Brock lays out Undertaker the day after WrestleMania, and they build for the 1 year to that match.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
To take and And yeah, okay, you could fight Cena, or you could fight Orton, or, you know, here you go along the, here's some map layout. But none of it was, A, none of it as good as the match was, as great as the match was. Nobody was saying, you know what would be the best thing for business is to fight John Cena in April.
Yeah, in Extreme Rules. And then, yeah, this, like, it's just, I don't know. It's almost like this is Hunter's Eagle. I mean, you know.
What?
No, I know, I'm being silly.
That's just fuck. Stephanie's ego.
A little bit of both. A little bit of A, a little bit of B. And, yeah.
I mean, that was the thing. I mean, but you say he come out and he doesn't know if he's got it anymore and if this is it. Oh, fuck, thank you. And he just drops.
Well, you know what?
Microphone.
On the Figure 4 Daily, or Figure 4 Wrestling Observer website, I think they said it well. The guy who writes it, and I'm not sure his name, who it is, who's taken over from Todd Martin. Let me look it up here.
His name's Bob.
Rob McCarron. He had the best line when he talked.
Bob McRamond, right?
No. He had the best line for me when he described this segment. He wrote, former world champion and current sad sack Triple H came out. And that's exactly it. I mean, that sums it up well to me.
Yeah, Steve did a good job of capturing that. But who gives a fuck? Again, Hunter has got this, Hunter has always been that second, he's always been the upper mid card of super superstar, right?
Yeah, no, he's never been The Rock. He's
been The Rock, Hogan, Austin, Savage, he's never been that.
No.
It's, you know, it's like him, Sean, Brett, you know, all those guys are in that kind of.
He's not Bruno Sammartino. He's Bob Backlund.
I don't even think he's Bob Backlund or Bret Hart even. I think, or even Sean probably, because they at least got to be the top. He's like Sid, for fuck's sakes. Like he's in that comparative. He's not in the same, but he's higher than Sid. But he's in that comparative level that he's Sid to Bret Hart. Yeah. You know, they're both around, both champions around the same time. But, you know, if Austin is Brett, then Hunter is Sid. That's the same thing, right?
Yeah, no, that's a good way to put it.
And how many people give a fuck when Sid busted his leg and had to retire?
Nobody.
Yeah, so, I mean, his softball coach.
Yeah, maybe him. So, any final thoughts on Raw?
Fuck no.
Okay, before we get to the news, let's. You just finished watching SmackDown. I'm going to call up a report because I didn't get a chance to see it yet. And giving your review, I'm not sure I will bother because you already told me that it's pretty forgettable. I'm just calling it up right here. We got. What do we open up with? What do we open with?
Two things happened. Okay. Two things happened. Dane Sandow fought Sheamus.
Okay.
And so Sheamus comes out at the beginning, and then Sandow interrupts him. And what did he say? He goes, you know, he's like, oh, beat you, fellow. He's like, you may, but let me tell you something. You're as big of an ignoramus as you are enormous.
That doesn't even make any sense. That's an awesome line.
Oh, you're as ignorant as you are. As tall as you are, you're just as ignorant, is basically what he's saying, right? He just did his whole his speech, and it was great. And then they had a decent enough match where, again, Sandow wasn't buried. He did the whole walkout thing that they do now every week, where the heel walks out on the match.
Yeah.
But Sandow not buried in the mic or the match.
Yeah.
So I thought that was great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure when, but he'll ascend to the world title pitcher contender slot at some point.
At some point. And the other thing that I noticed, again, there are really two things that stood out to me. Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel, a regular tag team, kind of have matching gear now with these yellow shirts or whatever. They wore them last week on SmackDown in that backstage brawl thing. And they had them on before their match with the Primetime Players. Primetime Players won. But some of the tandem offense that Kidd and Gabriel had, it really actually reminded me of the Motor City Machine Guns.
I can see that. Yeah.
So that was kind of what I thought there, that they were almost kind of filling that role, and hopefully they'll get a shot.
To do what against who? I mean, would actually, you know what?
And we got five teams now. I mean,
honestly, you know what? And as soon as I said that, I thought to myself, wait a second. Them against the Usos, who are good, especially considering their inexperience. Them against Primo and Epico, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, as you know, I think Primo is one of the five best workers pretty much in the WWE. And I think that'd be a tremendous match. So, yeah, no, that's good stuff. I like that.
And I mean, you've got the Ascension down in NXT that, you know, that's kind of not yet ready, but is getting there, right? So, I mean, and have had matches against the Usos as well. So they've got that kind of, they can play off of that as well in terms of, you know, the experience.
Did you watch the crowning of the first NXT champion?
I did.
How was that? Yeah, let's go to that.
Well, okay, because that was SmackDown.
That was SmackDown, yeah. Now let's go to something. Let's go to something more important.
Here comes Dolph Ziggler, RKO. Anyway, yes,
he lost.
I know, it's weird.
Yeah,
clean. But the whole show was based around the crowning of the finals of the Gold Rush tournament and the crowning of the first NXT champion. I mean, you had your undercard stuff where the Usos come out to cut a promo and the Ascension jumped him and beat them down. You had, what's his name, Ross Jordan and Mike Dalton, I think, Mike Dalton and Ross Jordan. Last week they beat Hunico and Camacho in a quote-unquote upset.
So you have another team, actually two more, really, because we forgot about Hunico and...
Yeah. Hunico and Camacho, yeah. And anyway, Hunico and Camacho, 50-50 booking, beat them back.
Okay.
So, I mean, whatever. That didn't do anything for me. But and then you had Big E Langston, do a squash deal.
Ezekiel Jackson?
I know, right? I don't know. I don't know. But who cares? It's really probably the
question. You realize we'll be saying the same thing about Big E Langston in a year's time?
Oh, yes, yes. And Mason Ryan, whatever happened to Mason Ryan, right?
Will we be saying the same thing about Ryback in a year's time?
Oh, maybe. It might be. I mean, I think Ryback's getting a bigger push than Zeke.
Yeah.
And Mason Ryan, actually, for that matter. So
that's true.
So maybe not. Point well taken.
No question, Jack Swagger lost. Him and his beard lost, and he said, "That's it." So what the hell does that mean after that?
To the back.
Oh, okay.
They only have 3 hours.
It's not that he's going to leave.
We have 3 hours. I had to get to the next segment.
All right.
I don't know. But anyway, then all the NXT wrestlers, there's guys on were standing at the bottom of the Titantron there for this match.
Yeah.
I get, this contest is the final. So Howard Finkel is the ring announcer for this. Actually, first he brings out the NXT commissioner, so I get to hear the American Dream's music, which is always beautiful. And, that's it. That one. The doop, 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 doop.
That's it. I thought you were going to break into the song if I provided the beat.
I was waiting.
I'm just a comic man.
I know. God. Look at that blubber fly.
What? I'm dancing.
Where'd you get that splotch?
All right, keep going.
All right. So anyway, Dusty come out. He's got the belt. He's there to present the belt to the winner. They do big fight feel ring introductions where both men come down and they do the announcements in the ring with the Fink. As Jinder Mahal comes down, as he's putting his turban in that fucking
glass case,
museum display case. It's of course Jim Ross doing the main event of every NXT.
Yep.
It's Byron Saxton, William Regal normally, and then JR just joins for the main event. But William Regal says that Jinder Mahal has dedicated his win, and he says he will win. And when he wins, he has dedicated that win to Dara Singh, who just passed away, the Indian wrestling legend Dara Singh. And so, and again, I mean, he probably didn't, but William Regal brings this up, right? So that shows the value of Regal when we're getting a retard like Jerry Lawler on Raw. But anyway, and decent match.
Like Michael Cole.
Well, that's true, but I mean, that I'm thinking more
outward. I bet you Regal could seriously come on and call all by himself without any help, call Raw and be just awesome.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know? But I, best match I've ever seen Jinder Mahal.
About to pick up.
Yes. He's running like a scalded dog.
You know?
Hello,
You know what they say about a one-legged chap in an ass-kicking contest?
John Laurinaitis had the wrong one.
Book it! Book it!
I have to go now, Owen.
Okay, let's go. Where the hell were you? Okay, so the match.
Best match I've ever seen Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was wondering how good a quality. Because Jinder Mahal is not good.
How you say. Yeah.
So, could Seth Rollins get a decent match out of him? How many stars do you give it?
Oh, I mean, I would give it 2 3/4.
Which is pretty good for Jinder Mahal. Of course, we haven't seen him have much opportunity either. You know, and when he's wrestling against guys like Great Khali and Ryback, what the fuck do you expect? But nevertheless.
Well, pretty good for an NXT match. You know, what you expect from an NXT main event, quite frankly. Yeah. You know, so very good back and forth. Seth Rollins wins the title. They all do the Bret Hart WrestleMania 10 thing where they put him on the shoulders and the babyface is coming to the ring, right?
Now, my question for you is, Jinder Mahal, how long is he sticking around? Like, I think we thought a year and a half ago that he was about to be cut. Like a year ago, whatever. We saw him in SmackDown here. Like, this guy's career is just about done. Everybody was like, the death watch is on. And now he's having a feud with Ryback. He's on TV fairly regularly. He's getting to the finals of NXT. They're not giving up on him. They obviously see potential in him.
Yeah. No, that's just it. And I don't know. I mean, so we'll see. I mean, the short answer is I really don't know. I could see him sticking around for a while, though. It was when he wasn't being used on TV at all. I mean, right now.
Well, they also had him. Like they were dropping him out for a while too, right? He's not really being. Yeah. I mean, he's still not. He's not a. I mean, he's lower mid card, but he's not the jobber that Heath Slater is either right now.
Well, no, I mean, and Heath Slater's a little bit of a different story, because Heath Slater's a jobber with a character, whereas Jinder Mahal, I'm just trying to think of the guy that they've got now. I guess, Swagger is playing that role right now. I mean, at the same time, I don't think of Swagger as being cut right now. I'd look at, like, a JTG or a Trent Beretta, right? Yeah. Whereas not being used at all. You know, JTG's actually probably, and Drew McIntyre are probably the two best examples now of what Jinder Mahal was.
Yeah.
Right? So,
what they should do with Trent Beretta is tag him up with Curt Hawkins.
That would be, exactly. They could bust some dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that Kalen Croft? And Trent Beretta?
That's not the same guy. And then, who cares?
And No, it wasn't. Then Curt Hawkins come in
as the third. They were both partners with Zack Ryder at some point, weren't they? Hawkins and Beretta? I don't know. No? Who was it that Damian Sandow, when he was Austin Stevens or whatever?
Oh, Idol Stevens and... I don't remember the guy's name. I don't think he's with the company anymore. I thought it was like that Casey... guy. Whatever.
Good job establishing characters, WWE.
It was awesome. It was Michelle McCool. Mama McCool was the manager.
Congratulations to the Undertaker and his lovely wife on their birth of their child.
That's right. You know who's upset about this? Billy Kidman.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Jealous.
His first wife. But
Not Michelle McCool, Undertaker's first wife, Billy Kidman.
Oh, I thought that's what they had in common. That's how they met.
Could be.
Yeah.
I'm sure Billy. I don't know if Billy Kidman's fucked Michelle McCool. I know he's fucked Kelly Kelly.
That's true. But so is Undertaker.
Yeah, well, everybody.
So is the new baby. Yeah. But
yeah, she gets around.
So in other words, do you know what we're saying here? Undertaker and Michelle McCool, they have a kid, man.
A kid, man. Nice. See what you did there. Yeah. Nice. You tied that shit together.
You know what was awesome today? I watched Vintage.
Yeah?
And what they started for right now, they just come off their tour around the world of Vintage, where they would go and show like a lot of Japanese wrestlers. Then they would show British wrestlers and Canadian wrestlers and such. then we had now it's because of Night of Champions being there. They're doing the championship editions of Vintage, where pretty much everything's going to be a championship match. But what they did is they took this edition of it and said, they talked about what the Grand Slam was. The Grand Slam was winning the four titles.
Yeah.
The European title, Intercontinental, Tag title, and then the WWF title, or WWE title, whatever, WWF at the time. So they had one match of each, one title match from each.
Okay.
Is what each of the four. So it opened with the night after WrestleMania 17, Eddie Guerrero challenging Chris Jericho for the European Championship. Mm-hmm. And this is when China turned on Jericho and went with, Latino Heat, as that fucker Jerry Lawler kept saying. God, I hate him.
In case you think he used to be good.
Yeah, exactly. What happened to you, King? You used to be cool? No. No, you didn't.
Puppies,
fuck me. But,
Puppies do fuck you.
That's true. That's
yeah. Well, hey, look, I'm not one to judge. As long as you're not fucking them back, it's okay.
No, I fucked them in the back.
Ah, bestiality. Always hilarious.
Isn't it, though?
Speaking of which, well, you are the guy who named his dog Willie.
That's true. So the girls, when they meet them, they can pet my Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Still
do. Hmm? And it is a giant white Willie, too, actually. That's
hairy.
Yeah. Kind of like, which is weird, because I imagine your actual stuff is kind of like a toad trying to find its way out of the forest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's thick woods.
All right, fuck. Let's get back.
Jason took on the British Bulldogs from Madison Square Garden. Our Foundation defending the tag titles after, of course, referee Danny Davis' girl Monsoon said, handed them the titles gift-wrapped. Yes, he said gift-wrapped. But then the Hearts and the Bulldogs are great. Then we moved on to Honky Tonk Man defending the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship of the World against the Macho Man Randy Savage inside of a 15-foot-high steel cage. Not the blue bar cage.
Really?
Yeah, the mesh cage. It was before this match that Mean Gene points out that the Intercontinental Championship, very prestigious, at one time, holding the Intercontinental title meant you were the number one contender to the richest prize, the WWF title. Mm. So,
yeah.
You know, indeed, not anymore.
No, now if you win the Intercontinental title, you'll do the job to one of the top contenders for the world title the next week.
Yes, that's right. And then, on my notes.
By the way, this can transition great into an email question I got, so we'll do that right after.
Okay, and then on the next, I wrote, fuck, because the show was going so great. And then the World Wrestling Federation Championship match that they decided to put on was coming from the King of the Ring, I believe the year 2000, King of the Ring pay-per-view extravaganza, when There was the World Wrestling Federation Championship was defended in a six-man match where Kane, the American Badass, The Undertaker, and The Rock faced off against World Wrestling Federation Champion Triple H, Shane McMahon, and Vince McMahon.
I'm sure I saw the match, and I have absolutely no recollection whatsoever, which is all you need to know about the match.
Well, they say that the World Wrestling Federation was the first reality television, and the storyline behind this match is that Vince and Triple H did not trust Shane to get the job done. So, bit of a stretch there.
Yeah, that's good, because, that's... Whatever.
Shane said, I'll show you. I'll get this pay-per-view shown in China.
Yeah. I'd rather be in China. No, I wouldn't.
What? Only for one night.
No. Right? No.
Oh.
Never.
Not even for a Royal Rumble?
I'd rather fuck a dog like you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I am a dog.
All right, and what the hell are we talking about?
That was vintage.
Well, that leads into a great email question. I got this a while back, so just give me a second to call this up. But as you know, we get a shitload of mail. Some we do right away, some not, because we get quite a bit. But you can email me at mo@wetalkpodcast, mo@wetalkpodcast.com, opinions or questions or whatever. So got this one. This is from Bill Royal, and he was wondering, he says, hey, guys, wondering what you thought the most important secondary title that you can think of is. It can be a title within one of the major federations or the major title of one of the secondary federations. I guess he means independent or small. So
Is this currently or like
I think he's saying ever. Because currently, I mean, fuck.
The deepest title.
Yeah, currently only because of what happened at Destination X, it might be the X Division title, and that's scary. I'm not even sure about that. I mean, it might be the Divas title. It's pretty bad. It depends on whether or not you consider the world title that Sheamus has a secondary title. In some ways, it is.
I was going to say, in some ways, that is the new Intercontinental title.
So,
right?
Yeah, I mean, that might be right now. But, yeah, what do you think is the most important secondary title that you can think of?
Oh, of all time, the most important secondary title to me is the Intercontinental title. I mean, that's just kind of hands down to me that, you had your U.S. championship, and, I mean, the North American Heavyweight Championship was a secondary, but it was the main title of Stampede Wrestling, territories had, because the NWA champion used to go from territory to territory, so they would have what they would consider secondary titles were actually the everyday main titles of that particular territory.
Well, how about a title like ECW title? ECW World Heavyweight title at when ECW was at its biggest, at its height. I mean, could an argument be made for that?
Is what? Like in the whole, what's the secondary, what's the most important secondary title?
It would still be
like
a secondary title because it was the third biggest federation and it wasn't as big as, but I mean, arguably, you could say a title like ECW title was more important than, historically is more important than Intercontinental title.
No, you can't.
You don't think so?
No, who's held the fucking ECW heavyweight title?
Just Incredible.
Yeah, exactly. Steve Carino, Raven, Sandman.
But no,
but
truthfully, because it has been so long. I mean, when was the last time the Intercontinental title meant fuck all? When was the last time it meant fuck all? 1998. Rock.
When ECW folded.
What's that?
Yeah, about the same time ECW folded is when.
ECW folded in 2000, but.
Yeah, and that's about the time the Intercontinental Championship became not as relevant, because you still had Benoit and Jericho and Eddie all still with the Intercontinental title at that point. What I'm looking at with the ECW title,
and when it was you're right, or 2000 Jericho and I think it was 2000 Jericho and Benoit probably is actually the last time it actually really meant something.
It was, because it started to go downhill with Albert and Lance Storm and Edge and Christian and all that and Test. I mean, that's where it was. But to, further your point on the ECW World Heavyweight Championship, is that in that fucking promotion wasn't even the most prestigious championship.
That's
because
too.
The television champion owned by Rob Van Dam for 2 years was taking over that spot.
That's
so,
true. By the end, was not at the beginning of his reign. It took a while, but because he held it for so long, it became more prestigious.
But, I mean, if you're talking that, I mean, I'm just talking about, but at the same time, it's the supposed to be the flagship title of your company,
yeah.
Right? So I'm comparing, like, within the WWF, you had the WWF title and the Intercontinental in the tag title. In WCW, NWA, you had the TV title, you had the U.S. title and the NWA title or WCW title, whatever, right? So, I mean, for that, I look at, when you're talking about, I'm thinking Intercontinental title only because, I mean, you had Shawn Michaels, Mr. Perfect, you know, Bret Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Randy Savage, Honky Tonk Man. I mean, the people that held that title is probably more prestigious. I can only make an argument to the WCW Cruiserweight Championship.
Really? I don't think it's the next. I'll just blame it on the Skype delay. I don't think it's the next most prestigious. I think you could go back to a belt like the Florida Championship FC or Florida Championship Heavyweight Belt in the early 80s. I think it would have been a secondary belt and then part of the NWA, but I think that belt would have been as a prestigious or more prestigious. What's that?
Who held? I said, who held
Dusty.
That one? And?
I think Jake Roberts.
Okay.
still.
Oh, that's
I would say both the, NWA and, there was a period where definitely the United States belt was more prestigious than the Intercontinental belt. But I think definitely, historically, you'll look back and say Intercontinental belt had the better, was more historic. But I think both the tag team belts for both WWF and even WWF and NWA was probably more prestigious than the Intercontinental belt. I mean, these things would main event a Madison Square Garden and draw huge houses and big feuds much more back in the day. If you're looking like 1982, they were more important title than the Intercontinental belt then. So I mean, and they also had, you know, a level of importance when the Intercontinental title meant nothing in 1999, it still meant the tag team titles because of Dudley Boys and Edge and Christian and Hardy still meant something. So I'm not a...
When Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon were having a ladder match for the Intercontinental title, Men on a Mission and the Quebecers were battling for the tag team title. So it goes both ways.
It does go both ways. I won't disagree with that. But I will say that... I can
definitely see your argument when you're talking about the tag titles, when you're even thinking about, you know, you go back to the NWA with, Slaughter and Kernodle against Youngblood and Steamboat,
yeah.
Right? I mean... That kind of feud, you know. You look at, you know, even Ric Flair and Greg Valentine as a tag mm-hmm. team, you know, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, and then you transition over and you've
Road
got,
Warriors.
You know, the Hart Foundation
yeah.
and the Bulldogs and you know things
yeah.
like that. So definitely, I mean, I can definitely make an argument for that tag title. As I said, the Intercontinental one. I think secondary title though. I mean, to me, I'm thinking U.S. title and Intercontinental title, right? The number two, when I think you're secondary, I think of the number fucking two, which, I mean, that's why I think of
what's more prestigious, way, you know? And I think that means what are fans paying to see and what's drawing the most. And I think, historically, probably the tag titles have drawn more money than the Intercontinental or U.S. belts. I will say that.
The thing is, I mean...
Mid-South Heavyweight Championship also would have been a very valuable... You know, and even Lawler's, what was the Lawler's? It was...
Isn't that the...
Yeah, yeah,
South?
That would have had some, prestige
yeah.
too in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of, I mean, you can look at the number of great wrestlers that both won and lost that title from Jerry Lawler over the years. I mean, there's got to be about 60 of them.
Yeah, that's true. There's Dutch Mantel.
Yeah, yeah, there's Bill Dundee.
Fucking full circle, folks.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. And they were talking about a jerk, too, so it was like a full circle jerk. But the thing is, tag title and intercontinental title, I'm flip-flopping between that one, because you talk about you think it's drawn more money in a day. It just depends on the era, because, I mean, what match, you know, again, when you talk, I mean, WrestleMania 3, right? I mean, that was built around not just Hogan and Andre. I mean, you had Savage Steamboat, yep. Right? And Savage Steamboat coming out of that. You had Tito Santana and Greg the Hammer Valentine, you know, in that there. But then, you know, then you had the Bulldogs and the Hearts there too. So, I mean, I could go sort of even with the tag titles.
Make the argument to me for the Cruiserweight title.
Well, I was just talking about when you're talking about the list of people, the list of superstars that have held that title. So when you're looking at Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero and Rick Mysterio.
I heard of those last two guys. I've never heard of the first guy.
I know, right? I know. Oh, fuck, he was killer in the ring. But you had Malenko.
Killer out of the ring, but...
That's true.
Does anybody else find it disturbing that a guy whose name is Daniel uses the crippler crossface as his finishing move? You can call it the no tap or no lock all you want. Anybody else find that kind of just a little uncomfortable?
You know what's even more uncomfortable? That now that he's gone to anger management, he was prescribed Xanax.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, you know, and you know, and they're talking about their boss. And the weird part was they didn't show.
What's the condition that Daniel has to need Xanax for?
I don't know. He's pretty fragile, yeah. Though. So yeah.
He'd be good in the X Division.
That's exactly. Sad. But I think that, you know, next, they've already shown on, if you go to WWE.com, they have some sort of previews of the next week's anger management with this collage thing or whatever. And the next thing that really sets Daniel Bryan off from just getting super mad is that he's trying to show his collage, but he keeps getting texts.
Mm-hmm.
So that just pisses him off.
It could be. I have no fucking idea. Neither do the listeners.
But the cruise.
Hey, make the argument for the Cruiserweight belt.
I was just telling you about I was just talking in terms of the list of guys that have held the belt. And like, you know, the Benoits and the Eddies and the Rey Mysterios and the Ultimo Dragons and the Jushin Ligers.
Chris Jericho.
You know, just Jerichos and the Uvies and just, you know, just the Malenkos. It's just the level of talent that has held the belt. And again, and when you think
Evan
of kind
Courageous.
Of second, yeah, Evan Courageous, Dusa, Oklahoma. I mean, you just think of the height. But, I mean, really, when you think of the early days of Nitro, it was the Cruiserweights. Like, even for the first year, it was the world title with Hogan, and it was really the Cruiserweights that were kind of that the other thing to see, right?
It was what made you – the Cruiserweights were what made you say, this is different than what WWE is doing.
But the title, they had programs, they had angles and issues, and it really was in
and
terms
like
of
competitive
like more
wrestling division.
Yeah, more than the outsiders just holding the tag titles and never defending it. More than whoever with the U.S. title and never defending it, right? I mean, really, the Cruiserweight title was always being defended, and I think at that 96 level, that 1996 time period, that Cruiserweight title was the second most important title in WCW in terms of the prestige, and WCW was the number one company.
Yeah, I think
so.
That's made there. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's true. Damn true.
I don't think it is, but I just think that, like, I personally don't think that it is, but I just.
No, I know. I don't. When I say it's true, I don't mean it's true that it is the number two, but it is true that your argument is strong.
If someone said that to me, exactly. I couldn't tell them. Well, I would tell them to fuck off, but I would, you know, I should.
You should. You would still.
I would still, though, yeah.
All right. Let's hit some of the headlines of the week. You got some news clips there?
I got a couple news
clips.
You
were talking about the Reverend.
Well, we talked about the good Reverend.
Oh, my brother.
Testify. Before we get in there, I just want to talk about one thing that I happen to go on YouTube and see is that on WWE Classics On Demand this month, CM Punk hosts a program or a segment, Macho Man Randy Savage's 20 Best Interviews.
That would be great.
That's, yeah.
Seems like, Macho it Man, seems like it's... I see the wall chipping away slowly for getting him in the Hall of Fame here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as long as they'll let the genius in.
Yeah. Well, I said slowly. But
slowly, that's true. Well, they have Damien's hand now.
Yeah.
But,
fuck, if he inducted him, that'd be awesome.
That would be though awesome.
Though the guy who would probably induct him, I would think, would be CM Punk at this point.
For, I guess, yeah, or Stephanie. Actually, you know what?
Perfect. It's funny because Savage inducted her.
I just thought of this now that because she's a former diva, right? And so you could do two people. You could have Stephanie, and you know who inducts along with Stephanie?
Who?
Cherry,
back from Deuce and Domino. Yes, that's right. That's right.
Big Randy Savage.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect. Please welcome Stephanie and her Cherry.
Yes, introducing Randy Savage. Fucking great. That's fucking great.
But CM Punk wearing the
purple. You know Randy what? Savage and then at the end, Cherry can or Stephanie can give Cherry the implant buster.
You know what? Either way, I think she should just pop her one.
We don't know if you guys are entertained listening to this shit. But let me tell you, we're interested. We're entertained ourselves coming up with it on the slot.
So now let's talk about a reverend.
Testify. We are so going brother. To fucking hell.
And you're all coming with me.
All right, tell us what's going on.
Shut the fuck up and get on the bus. But Devon apparently tweeting that he's done with TNA. Couldn't his contract was up. Both the contracts of the Dudley Boys up this week, apparently. Devon has since said he seems done with TNA. Bubba keeping it not saying a word. People are asking, and he's deflecting questions. Well,
he's in a very different position.
He is. No, he is. But... again, but the contract situation is the same. To me, again, I wouldn't be surprised to see, Bubba sticking around because I think the only value of Devon is with, as a Dudley Boy to the WWF, right? So that's – unless Devon gets a job at NXT as a trainer. I mean, he's got a school down there. So, I mean
– Which he runs with Bully Ray.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, if he gets the job and just goes over to Tampa from wherever they are, Florida, wherever FCW kind of thing is, I mean, I could see that.
Possible.
Devon,
but he said you'll see me again. He said this. I suspect within 2 months he'll be back in TNA.
I would think so. Well, he has to defend the TV
next
title
week.
Because they do that
every single week. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a good way for the TV title to just die, too.
Yeah, it's fine. Because, it's not that it's a bad idea. It's that they don't have time for it.
They don't. I mean, I was just thinking, when was the last time they had the Zima Ion?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was before the last pay-per-view.
Probably.
He probably was on the pay-per-view? I don't think he's been on since.
Maybe not, yeah.
I don't even remember seeing him in that giant brawl.
Yeah, you're right.
So... for a second,
X-Division champion, right? And they just don't have room for him right now.
Well, it's when you said the X-Division championship was the most now, and I had to think who was the champion. And Zima Ion, I go, when was the last time I saw him?
Yeah, right? And you know what? A lot of that is probably from the idea that the direction they wanted to go was him against Jesse Sorensen, and Sorensen doesn't look like he'll be back from his injury in time to be at Bound for Glory. So they might not know 100% what to do there.
No, that's right. But then they had Kenny King kind of come in, right? And then so that, but then they kind of shied away a little bit from that.
Yeah, because their match is, not great. So, yeah.
Well, I thought the pay-per-view match
was 2 3/4. It had a nice finishing sequence. But it's nothing special.
That's true.
Not like what we were once expected from X Division.
No, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. But no, I mean, that's so, D-Von, you're right. I think we'll see him back eventually, but we'll either see him back in TNA or, as I said, I think he'll become a WWE trainer.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
You know, and then, cause keeping him in the fold is when Bubba eventually retires, then they've got that nostalgia team that they can bring back.
That's right.
And
that's
they've
right.
got Martin yeah. Fold, kind of like the new,
I mean, Bubba's right? in a weird, Bubba doesn't seem like he should leave. But like you say, he could very well be in the next pay-per-view, getting a shot for the Bound for Glory title. I expect them to, since he doesn't have a contract, for him to win the Bound for Glory series.
Yeah, win the title.
Pretty much. Yeah. TNA tradition.
It sounds like they're going to be taking our advice, Dylan, that the TNA title is not going to be up for grabs at
Good.
The pay-per-view.
A lot of people are giving TNA... See, this last Monday, like I say, it had three great matches.
Thursday.
This last Thursday, Impact had three great matches and a lot of great segments. It was a terrific show, top to bottom. I really, really enjoyed the show. A bounce back from the week before, which was pretty much shite. And,
Yes.
So, I mean, really, really good stuff. Now... A lot of people are giving them flack because they haven't announced an actual single match guaranteed for the pay-per-view, which is in, you know, whatever here,
oh,
9
week?
Days from today. So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think – see, it doesn't matter because to me, I'm looking at it and going, TNA right now is promoting two things. They're promoting Aces and Eights, and they're promoting the Bound for Glory tournament. And they've already said the Bound for Glory finals is there, and Aces and Eights, the continuing storyline will occur there. That's all you need to sell a pay-per-view. You don't really need to have a whole bunch of matches or anything.
And I think you've just had, on that backstage, we'll get into Impact, with Hogan saying, you know, I'm going to tell you when and where to defend those tag titles, brother. That, I mean, you're going to get a tag title defense on
the pay-per-view. Yeah, you're going to get Chavo and Supermex there against Hernandez, against... what is it called? Daniels and...
See, I was almost thinking you were going to get the two guys that don't make the final. I think it'll be AJ and somebody.
Could be AJ and Angle. Know? Something like that, maybe.
Something again, yeah. Well, they're both out,
both
of,
out
the,
of the Bound for Glory tournament. And that's another thing I liked. Angle lost clean to Jeff Hardy. You had three matches.
Yeah.
Every single match, I could see either guy winning. All of them were seen as top contenders, all really good matches, all clean finishes. This is so refreshing coming off fucking Raw.
Yes, and I mean, and Angle was pissed that he lost.
Yeah, and the storyline needs to be here, and I think this is what they're building for, and I love this, is this guy is probably the greatest of all time. That's the way they bill him, in-ring greatest of all time. And the argument can be made, right? This guy's the greatest of all time. Has he lost a step? Does he still have it? This could be a Rocky storyline. They could do something great with Angle here with this. So, I mean, I think that's where they're going is there was once no question. Not only would he have made the final four, he would have won, and now he didn't even make the final four. Has he still got what it takes?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then all you need is a brash, cocky champion to rub that in.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's well, – we'll
or
get
even,
to
or even a guy like – yeah, I mean, even a brash, cocky champion or even just a guy like – like rude, even if he's not the championship, if it's the right personality, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Just looking at some other news items here. 3.1 for Raw, so just kind of status quo. 1.1 for Impact. They had their highest in months at 1.7 million last week, and this yesterday's show was at 1.42 million.
Now, went up against really a very highly rated college football game. And the Republican National Convention, which did really strong ratings. I'm sure that hurt it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. No, what did they get at 1.72? I mean, I'm sure, again, and it's really, it's 300,000 viewers, so in the grand scheme of things, it's not that much, right? So it's basically the same. I do wish those numbers had been reversed.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny that, and that's another thing you could say, when they had a shitty show, they had their highest rating. So maybe you're not going to get as high a rating next week because the show wasn't that good. Another obviously did something to create people to watch it.
Yeah, well, that
might be overanalyzing that, but in that
I was going to say, I think that's just exactly, it's just sort of a normal ebb and flow there, right? So, just looking at some other items. What about, somebody call my mama to bail me out of jail. Drunk is on a roll. Drunk is on a roll. No?
No.
Cameron? Cameron the dancer. Is a drunk.
Yeah, from Cameron, what was it, Cameron and Nadine, with who accompany Brodus Clay?
No, Tracy and Nadine accompanied Flash Funk.
Yeah. Funny how it gets...
Cameron and somebody else.
Stacy. Tina. Rosa. Yeah.
C.
I don't know. Point is, though, that, yeah, this she got drunk driving, but...
Naomi.
Cameron...
Cameron went to Australia because that's where they are right now.
Yeah.
WWE. And she was on the first show, but not on the second show.
Well,
it was only one of the answers.
Yeah, but here's the bigger deal to this. Well, I mean, there's a few issues about this. Okay, number one, there's a few things. She was worried she was going to lose her job over this. And historically, they've shown people drunk driving don't lose their job first offense. I mean, Santino Marella and Ted DiBiase and all this stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but she wasn't way drunk. I mean, she wasn't like, apparently you blow as a 0.1 that is drunk. Most people come in at like a 1.1, 1.2, and she was a 0.2.
Yeah.
She was fucked up. She was just out of it. And then from there, she proceeded to offer the police officer.
Yes, and then from there.
Police officer $10,000. He told her mm-hmm. she works for Wells Fargo, and that she would lose her job, and offered him $10,000 to not book her. So she tried to bribe him.
No, that's not true, because that's where the story gets. What she did is she offered $10,000 to the cop if he could slam her.
A Big John Studd reference. No, so she offered him $10,000, and then after she got booked, she didn't tell the WWE, which is really the big offense. So that way they can't, they don't know, that they're caught off guard when the news gets out. That's just, she just basically handled this like a moron from the beginning. And I'm not going to say, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to say I never got behind the wheel drunk. I did it once or twice in my life, and I'm ashamed of it. I know people that have done it and got caught and turned out to be productive members of society, despite being complete douchebags. So
I don't.
Look, everybody is allowed to have, and unfortunately, I don't have a lot of, drunk driving is dangerous, and it's not something to joke about. On the other hand, people make mistakes, so that's fine. It's her continuing behavior afterwards that's worrisome. So I think that's probably, if she loses her job, that'll be why.
The thing is that she was proud of herself for getting booked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what every wrestler wants.
That is what every wrestler wants.
Dennis Stamp was upset. He wasn't booked.
No. You know, he's not giving up the dream, though.
No. Drinking on his trampoline, though. That's dangerous.
That is dangerous. Trampoline and jumping. And you know what? He could, if he had just gone into the Olympics in the trampoline instead. That.
Oh, I know.
Because that's a real fucking Olympic sport.
Speaking of Kelly, you said tramp.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Yeah, and I said jumping on. So.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So. And drinking. But
yeah, remember those pictures of her at 19 or whatever, drunk in her, naked in her bathtub at the dorm or whatever.
Pissing in a sink.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Classy lady.
Class
it up.
Fuck. Well, that's it. So anyway, so not really much more to say on Cameron the drunk.
What about Kelly? Did you have something you wanted to say on her?
On her?
Oh, I'm sorry. Something added on her.
Oh.
It wasn't something you were going to say.
No.
Punk, what about Punk's hard way bleeding in that match? He took a hell of a bump into the cage and ended up with some major stitches in the match against Lawler.
Yeah, people said he was bleeding, but I don't know. I didn't go back and watch it that closely, and I said he had those staples there. So
yeah,
I mean,
when you get stapled on on the top of your head, it's probably not a blade job. Not unless, you know, I mean.
But how many, you don't blade at the top of your head, for fuck's
sake. No, exactly.
So, I mean,
exactly.
That's crazy. I mean, good for them though for not doing anything stupid and doing the whole like Christian Shelton Benjamin stop the match thing or whatever, right?
Exactly. You have any?
It's a cage match. There was some blood. It wasn't a Ric Flair Crimson Mask.
Hardway got caught on the top of the head.
And it was perfect for a cage match.
Right? You got anything else there?
A few things.
Okay, go on.
One quick thing. On Kickstarter, there is a new ECW documentary. I wrote underneath, seen it, fuck off.
Isn't this being done by Shane Douglas again?
I don't give a fuck who it's being done by. I've seen as many ECW documentaries almost as I've seen Cena Miz matches.
I've seen three that I can think of.
Like, what else is there to fucking say? Like, you got shoot interviews you can go watch with, like, you know, like Sandman, Balls Mahoney, or fucking Steve Goof, you want those kind of stories. You've got, we know all the fucking this.
And there's a certain amount of people that you're not going to have again that are kind of key members, like the kind of key people that you're not going to have in this documentary, so.
Well, and I mean, really, there's always going to be a different variety of interviews. Largely the interviews are all going to say the same thing. I mean, how many more fucking times can you talk about when Shane's down the title, when they did the crucifixion thing, when their chairs all got thrown? I mean, how many like, really, it's done. Like, come on.
And the legacy.
Well, yeah, it's done.
I can say when you're talking about this is there's one angle to this that nobody has covered. And that's the return of ECW and Vince McMahon truly killing it. So, I mean, if that's the direction, if it's covering just that, or if it covers mainly that, then that's new.
But who gives a fuck? Like, what did it mean? So, like I give a shit about what... No, it couldn't. Steve... Everybody knows it sucked, right? And so you're just going to get just incredible. That sucked. Steve Carino. Wow, that sucked. Todd Gordon. Can't believe they did that to something that I was a part of at the beginning. Like, fuck. Gives a shit. They don't have any of the footage. They can't show any of the fucking thing. They could do what? Interview the fucking zombie? Great.
Like, Big stupid. Dick Johnson?
Done. It's done. ECW was done. It was a fucking 5-year, 6-year, whatever the fuck it was, blip on the wrestling radar screen that's over.
Okay. All right. No problem.
King Mo is going to be in TNA in October.
What for?
That is apparently his debut date is set for October.
Oh, not King Mo from Men on a Mission. King Mo, what is it, Lawal?
Lawal. Not Sir Mo from Men on a Mission. It was King Mabel, Sir Mo. You're in a unique position because your name is Mo, but you're fat like Mabel. So it's like you're kind of both there.
Yeah. Plus, I'm a good rapper. You want me to say whoop, there it is?
Please.
Whoop, there it is.
I'm waiting. Plus, if you've ever gone to, like, a casino with you, and you go to the buffet, definitely a man on a mission.
A vegetarian mission.
Huh? Yes. God, yes.
Yes. You shake your head at me. You still can't believe I'm vegetarian.
I can't. It's not that you're a vegetarian. It's why you're a vegetarian.
Feel bad for the animals.
Well, that's like the one I'm doing.
With the animals.
Fuck, I ran over a rabbit today just to spite you.
Well, I don't care. You can do whatever you want to do. I just care about what I do.
It cost $3,000 worth of property damages to get that fucking rabbit, but I'm like, I'll show it.
All right, what else notes you got there?
Well, you had that email question. I got an email myself from
we got a shitload. Give your Twitter. I'm Mo at We Talk Podcast. Mo at We Talk Podcast. And you are?
Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com.
ADDIE.
IE. And again, it says from Zev, and I don't even know, it's like, I guess it's Nagurski. Anyway, he wants to know, he says that this year, apparently on
Wrestling Observer. Not from Nick, Mr. Gers?
No, no, no.
Okay.
Dev Nagurski. I don't. Anyway, he said that this year, apparently,
first John Nick.
Cena. Yes. I think he hosts America's Got Talent. Cena. It's,
oh, you're an evil, evil man.
It's true. John Cena is eligible for the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame for the first time because he's turning 35.
Isn't Edge also finally eligible?
I think Edge has been eligible for a while now. I think, I forget the qualifications. You have to have like 10 years in the business or be 35 years old or something that way. But anyway, this is John Cena's first year. You know, does he get in and should he get in this ballot?
Yes and yes. Next question.
Yeah, I can't see how he doesn't.
I can't believe anybody's making an argument for him not to get in. The only argument is that they shouldn't induct people still active. That's the only argument against him.
Carl Stern had that argument, and I can agree. And I actually like his idea of saying, you know, let's raise the age to 45 and not 35 before you get in, because you'll still get some active guys. I mean, Ric Flair would never get in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a guy like Triple H or Undertaker would still get in. But the thing is, they're semi-active. They're not, you know.
Well, I mean, Carl Stern's argument is that Benoit, you wouldn't have had this problem had you waited to 45.
Yeah, it's true of him being in and not getting out. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, because if he was going to get voted in, he would get voted in. I mean, that kind of thing, right?
It's true. The entire story isn't told. That said, John Cena's had enough accomplishments to absolutely get in.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think he's the top draw of a generation.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
So I mean, he's not a technician, but you know, but he needs. But I mean, he's.
But you
he's,
can, but
he
you
is,
can list 10 really good matches from him, though. Despite that.
Sure, and he, yeah, exactly. He can be carried, and he's had. You know,
Dusty Rhodes wasn't a technician either. Nobody's denying that he deserves to be in.
No, that's right. That's right. So, Hulk Hogan, for fuck's sake.
He's another level, though. And Cena or Dusty doesn't reach that level. But Cena probably reaches the level of a Dusty Rhodes, and Dusty's definitely a Hall of Famer. Therefore, Cena's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. No, that, I agree. So, no, to me, it's a slam dunk clear.
Thank you, Mr. Gers.
Yes, Nagurski.
Oh.
Nagurski.
Fuck. You know what? Just because they write their name, you have to remember it may not be their shoot name, and you don't have to read the whole thing.
Oh. I'm just being respectful.
Jesus. Because people will try and snow somebody who's stupid like you. All right, what else you got? You got yourself any other news items? I got a couple.
Okay, if you have a couple, I that's it. Other than I've got some Impact notes, that's all
okay.
I have. So,
well, the Impact title was stolen.
Oh, that's right. And a replica, two titles.
Yeah, the replica title worth about $50, and the real title, which is worth about $5,000.
I was just $52.50.
No, but, Stagehand had it backstage, and apparently a couple thugs came up and stole the thing, and they were caught on camera, so it was returned. But TNA title was stolen. Technically, those guys probably more legitimately deserved that title than Jeff Jarrett in his last run.
Did they ever clarify, because I asked this and I never got a response back from the company, because they said is there any truth to the rumor that the guy that was in charge of it, the stagehand, was that Mae Young's son?
Could be. Yeah. Well, he's all grown up now.
He is. Good to see.
Fuck. And another note, what is it, Saturday Morning Slam, WWE's television show?
Speaking of Kelly.
It debuted, I think it's on Fox. Is it on Fox? Is that what it was?
It's on UPN.
But anyways, I guess it got a 0.7, which is the strongest rating they've had in that slot on a Saturday morning forever. So I guess the really very strong, relatively very strong ratings for the new Saturday morning television show hosted by Santino Marella.
Yes, Santino and Joe. No, that's good. I mean, hey, why not? I mean, but that's, again, that's an audience that they're trying to
well, that's what most of the audience is. Just ask John Cena.
But the thing is, well, and the reality is, too, is that John Cena does appeal to that, and Santino does appeal to that, but again, there's a disconnect there if they're trying – for the people that – I mean, when we went even a year ago now to that SmackDown, and there were kids all over, yeah, and people watching SmackDown, but the people watching Monday Night Raw, you know, at even now an hour earlier, you know, at 8 o'clock Eastern, right? I mean, how long does a 9-year-old stay up, or a 10-year-old absolutely stay up, right? I mean, so they're not seeing that those things. So – I mean, there's the PVRs and the computers and shit, but I mean, again, they're really not seeing it. So this is their opportunity to actually watch wrestling on a Saturday
morning.
Which
is where I grew up watching it, right? Saturday morning, Stampede Wrestling, Maple Leaf Wrestling. That was it. I mean, it'd be 1 o'clock. It'd be 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or you know, I'd be outside, be playing basketball in a back alley. It'd be, you know, 1:45. I'd say to everybody, I gotta go. You're like, what's so important? I got to go watch wrestling every week and run up, watch my 2-hour block, come back, play some more basketball. Like, that was – I wasn't fat then.
Sure you were.
Well, relatively speaking.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, that's it. So Saturday mornings, Saturday afternoons, that was when I watched my wrestling. And without that, you're right. It hurts.
And they had a Heroes of Hockey show on right before.
Oh, yeah, with the lead. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's. I was always trying to figure out, because that was like, it was like legends, Hall of Fame players and retired players, and like just the original six teams in the NHL. And I was always trying to figure out if it was a work or not.
Yeah, I know. And it was always like, it was always just like the jobbers and the upper mid-carders of the
teams.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like Peter McNabb and stuff would be like the Bruins, like star player.
Yeah, exactly, because he couldn't get Bobby Orr. I was always trying to figure out if that was a work or not. I'm still convinced it was. I should fucking Wikipedia that thing. Now you got me reminded of that. That was curious.
I know.
So, yeah. But, so, anyway, so it is good. The thing is, though, we did mention that when we went to that SmackDown, we saw all the kids. We saw how much fun they had, how much they enjoyed the live event. We were a little less hard on them for the product they do, because obviously if it is just there to put the smile on the faces of the kids, it succeeds. The truth is, asking us to pay as adults then on a pay-per-view for it at the same time as you're doing this, the two things, you can't do the two things simultaneously, and that's obviously an issue.
You know what, I do, thinking back a year, and I mean, you talk about, seeing the smiles on the kids' faces, and like you said, how much they were enjoying it, and how, you know, a little less hard on them.
It softened us for a little while there.
It did, because
Kelly softened us for a little while there too.
She hardened me, but with it, it's it did it. It made us more, easier on the product, softer on the product, to the point that, we didn't do another show until after the Royal Rumble. So that was good.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Had a wonderful effect on us.
That's true. Nevertheless.
Nevertheless. So do you have any more news items, or should we talk about Impact?
I want to talk about, let's talk about Impact.
Okay. Good point.
Well, I just realized what I wanted to talk about is Impact related, and my favorite part of Impact, well, I'll get into it a little more because I think there's a swerve there. So you go ahead. Open up on this fucking thing.
Okay. Again, the nice part about the show, I thought, just to kind of go overall, is that everything we said they didn't do last week, they didn't have this, they didn't do this, that, they did. They went back. It was almost like last week, as we were hoping it would be, was just kind of one of those blips, it seems like. It's almost like it was like bizarro Impact, and now they're back on course. Like, if you didn't watch last week and whatnot, you wouldn't know that anything was wrong.
No, absolutely.
But, I mean, the show opens with Austin Aries coming out, right? And he comes out. He's got a little cast on his arm there. Basically, saying, aces and eights, you've hit the world champion, you know, so obviously what you want is my title. Well, guess what? You know, you busted my right hand. I'm left-handed, so fuck you. And, you know, he's calling him out, basically. He's like, I want to fucking fight you. And then Hogan and Sting then.
And you know what? That moment to me, like, as I realize it's 2012, but number one, I mean, they shot Hogan in a way that to hide his age and his injuries. They shot him from,
yeah.
Like, he looked good. He looked in great shape. And,
great.
Yeah,
man.
And they had at the top of the rank, they have the Hulk Hogan in black with the baseball bat. You had Sting out there. They're standing side by side. You had the fireworks going off, the crowd going absolutely crazy, the music loud. And I'm like, I know it's 2012. I know these guys still can't go. But I look up on that stage, and maybe it's nostalgia, but I went, fuck, that's Sting and Hogan just standing there, soaking it in together, side by side. Like, you know, yeah. It still had something.
And you know, the earlier, and I don't know if this happened during the, or was it when, Aries called out the Aces and Eight guy or whatever,
yeah.
Right? I don't
he basically
remember.
Said, I want to fight any one of you, just one of you, one-on-one. Get
yeah.
in here and prove your man.
And
one of you.
And then the rest of the roster come with Hogan, right, and Sting, didn't they? Is that this segment, or did
that happen
later?
That happened, I think that happened later. That happened later.
I just remember Hogan saying, you want us, our best guy is in the ring right
that's
now.
That's right. That was later, yeah.
And
that was the end of the show.
Fuck, that's great.
Yeah, he put over Aries again.
I don't know why Hogan is such a big Aries fan. Like, I mean, I don't. Like, I mean, like,
he's awesome, but
good,
but you don't know what
he's awesome,
but it's everything that you think Hogan wouldn't like.
Well, and yeah, exactly, and it just, I mean, it's great, but I mean, it's just put Aries over so huge that, like, it's just, it's not the kind of guy you think Hogan would rubber stamp,
no,
you know what
no.
I mean? But, we said our best guy is in that ring, and it's, like, beautiful, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, take us through, because you're the one that has it up in front of you, and I'm going off memory.
Yeah,
here,
and
so.
Obviously you're not very bright.
That's true. That's
yeah.
true. But my penis is big.
Really? Huh.
That's what I hear.
That's what you hear. Well, yeah. That's good to know. Let me see. You had that. Then you had ODB backstage trying to get a hold of Eric Young. She couldn't. James Storm
yes.
defeated Rob Van Dam. A real good match. Really, mm-hmm. the psychology of the match was Storm was hitting RVD with everything. And fucking finishers, and he just couldn't pin him. And RVD got very little offense, but just wouldn't quit. Finally,
yeah.
he got caught, and with a move that he couldn't kick out of.
Yeah.
One of the slower sections of the match definitely was Madison Rayne's, or the night was Madison Rayne's interview. Basically, like I say, they look like they're going towards Madison Rayne versus Brooke Hogan. Nobody gives a fuck. You know. Though I think in the ring, I think that I do believe that Brooke Hogan will take the fall.
Well, she's training with Rosa Mendez right now.
Well, there you go. There you go. So, I mean, anyways, ODB came out, got in her face, beat her up. It was all right. You know, Eric Young came out. Eric Young and ODB are back together. He's back from his Off the Hook or whatever his TV show is. He came out.
This was one of my favorite moments of Impact.
All right, go ahead.
Well, because he brought the chick in or whatever,
and
she said, you know, who's, and beer, and she said, what's with the suit? Who's the husband? This isn't a husband, and that a guy that I married, and he said, oh, you're right. And so, you know, he takes off his suit jacket, and then he takes off his shirt.
Oh, yes, I know where you're going.
To which Taz says, well, there's a big rash on EY's back.
Actually, that's not where I thought you were going. I thought you were going to go with the fact that he takes off everything and he has the trunks, like the U.S. flag, does a nip up, and Taz goes, proud American there, folks, and he's actually Canadian. Team Canada.
Yes, that's right. I didn't even think that. I just was too busy laughing my ass off that Taz was pointing out the back knee on fucking Eric
and
Young.
You know what? He seemed embarrassed right afterwards that he had said it. He's like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't point that out.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, proud American.
That was great.
That was
funny. But either way, the segment all in all wasn't a great segment, but it's like it's a comedy segment. And it's a breakaway from the seriousness of what this Impact was. So it's good in that little section. We had an AJ Styles interview, and they recapped everything with Claire Lynch, and he gave a promo on fucking the Samoa Joe in a match. Really hyped it up well.
No, he gave a shoot promo after the that because he talked about the Clara Lynch and he said, "Thank God that's over."
Yeah, no shit. No shit.
Amen, AJ. Amen.
We had Gut Check tonight for the first time. We had the contestant. Probably they had to go off script and give this Chris Louie guy two no's right away without it coming down to a third judge just because he was so bad you couldn't argue that he should get a vote.
No, exactly. Nice enough. Nice of them, though, to bring his wife and kid.
Yeah. So his wife and kid were front row.
Your daddy's a failure.
Yeah. And, of course, Joey Ryan, they set up further the idea of a Joey Ryan versus Al Snow match. So that's cool. No problem with that.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
Backstage.
Well, backstage, probably the greatest thing ever. Hogan came out, and like you say, Hogan kind of promoted Daniels and Kazarian, and this was great. Yeah. Because he got right in there, like what was it? Daniels? Was it Daniels who called Sting Heath?
Yes. Hey, Heath. I thought he said Keith.
Yeah, me too. And then I clicked in.
It was after when Sting went. He called me Heath.
That's right. That's right. But the best part was that Hogan's cutting this promo on them, and then Sting gets in their face, and goes poof, right, and fucking. Daniel spills his appletini, and he's leaving the room. He's like, that was a good appletini, man. Awesome. It was just, like I said, their humor is there, and it's subtle. It doesn't take over a segment or a show. It's not right in your face like WWE's, right? And then you had the best part was Joseph Park backstage with Hogan and Sting. Go ahead, just fucking talk about this.
We just talked about how Aces and Eights had, we could file a lawsuit against them for, negligence and public mischief and all these sorts of things. That, let me do some digging, he says. Just let me do some digging. And Hogan goes, well, I appreciate, brother, if you want to do some digging, you can do some digging, brother. And Sting just looks at him and goes, kayfabe, he said, hey, this? Put his hands in a circle. Kayfabe.
Kafabi, I think he called it.
Kafabi.
Kafabi, which was what Joseph Parker earlier, he goes, hey, I don't want to kafabi you. Like a month ago. It's this thing. He's like,
I
don't want to kafabi you. And now Sting, as he's leaving, he goes, oh, by the way, kafabi. And he's like, yeah, kafabi. Yeah, some kafabi. It was just fucking hilarious. Funny. Now, that said, I am 90% sure when they're setting this up that the guy who is going to be the leader, the guy who gets in the ring with the Aries at the end there, the guy under the mask is going to be Joseph Park Abyss.
Yeah.
I really think they're going that direction now. That said, I've thought 100 times I knew what direction they're going and haven't been able to figure it out. But
I just thought the big guy, Luke Gallows guy that we thought, yeah, to me, that's a bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think so now. And it makes sense, and there's a lot of cool ways they can go with it. So, I like that. That said, they had the Bound for Glory finish, and basically what they said was we have five guys. We have four spots left. Four guys are getting to the finals of the Bound for Glory at the, what is it, Surrender or whatever their next fucking pay-per-view is.
No surrender, I think.
And so four of these five people are going to get in. They said James Storm is already in. So it's three out of four people. Yeah. It's either RVD, Bully Ray,
Jeff Hardy,
and who was the other one? RVD, Samoa Joe. So three of those four are getting in. Logically what you do is you don't put in Bully Ray because he's capped out of contract.
Yes, that's true.
It'll be settled. We'll settle who's going in on next week's Impact with their last matches, which is cool.
And apparently, it's not a four-way; it's a tournament.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's
two-match tournament, basically, where there'll be semifinals and finals. And the person that finishes number one overall gets to pick their opponent.
Yeah, gets to pick up the top three, the other three, which one he wants to face in the opening round. So they give it a little
Storm.
Yeah.
Wall number one right now is guaranteed in the top four, but not guaranteed to be number one. Samoa Joe, I think with a submission win, can still overtake James yeah. Storm and pick his
and
opponent.
And so next week you yeah. have, is it, it's RVD versus Bully Ray. It's Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy. Is the main events announced for next week's Impact. Fuck, they're going to be great matches. That's going to be fantastic. So,
well, I mean, you think of the athleticism you have between Hardy and Joe and just that match quality there, and then just how well RVD and Bubba know each other, right?
Exactly. It should be. So. And just they built it up really, really well. I can't wait for those. And then right at the end, like I say, you finally had just one-on-one, one of the Aces and Eights get in the ring with AJ. Or not AJ, sorry, Austin Aries.
Aries.
With A-double. Yeah. We had a brawl. We had everybody come to the ring. You had Bully Ray. You had heels and faces come to the ring for TNA against Aces and Eights. And then you had a guy jump in from behind.
Yes.
And can you tell who that was?
I couldn't. I actually paused it last night to see, like, because what he did, basically, he went on the apron.
This guy came from the crowd.
And then he put a bandana on his face. He didn't have
I think he
one.
Just pulled up his shirt. I don't even think he used a...
Or whatever he did. Yeah, whatever he did. Then he pulled up his shirt. But he was plain as day and then pulled up his shirt.
Yeah.
And so no mask on this guy. Pulled up his shirt and what's his name with A-double with a flapjack or whatever.
Yeah.
A softjack.
Yeah, and knocked him out cold, right? And then he ran off. And even Bully Ray gets in there and he's like laying over him. He's like, it was that guy with the blackjack. It was that guy, some guy who came.
Yeah, he's like a guy. He went that way. He's talking to Hogan, right? He's like, he had a flapjack. He's just that way, right? He went that way. He hit him with a flapjack, and then he took off. He's over there. Or he ran through the crowd that way. But, I mean, this is a unique twist.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it. It wasn't really
working for me. The segment wasn't really working for me until that happened. You know? And then I was like, okay, where are they going now? What is this?
Yeah, who's this guy? I'm interested.
And the thing is, part of me sitting there going, honestly, I keep on thinking it looked to me like an in-shape Matt Hardy. And how interesting would that be if Matt Hardy was the fucking guy for Aces and Eights, or either in it or the guy running it? That's a twist. That's who it looked like to me. That said,
I thought what an interesting twist it would be.
Twist of fate?
If Matt Hardy was in shape.
A twist of fate. But I do think that's very, especially if you went with Jeff Hardy winning this thing and getting to the end and getting to the finals against A-double at Bound for Glory, and he's the guy. Now, that said, I'm pretty sure if he had his face even only for a second, somebody in the Impact Zone would have either taken I don't know, I guess they can't have their cameras out, but somebody out of there would have come out afterwards and sent a tweet or a Twitter.
Or they would have just chanted, Hardy. Hardy,
yeah, exactly.
Hardy.
Well, they could have made that seem like Jeff, though, because he was there, right? So
could have covered. Yeah, but they didn't do it, and that's what I mean.
Yeah, so
right?
It probably is somebody we don't know. That's, you know, so where is this going, though?
Angelic Diablo?
What?
The Angelic Diablo.
It's, like I said, it's probably somebody we don't know.
No, that's the thing. Or again, yeah, I mean, who knows, really? I mean, it's – but I'm interested anyway
in terms of
that. And the thing is with this guy is whoever did this probably most likely is the guy because, I mean, it's not like it's a guy under a mask where you could just have a different guy later, right? It's Sin Cara. So whoever did this mask pull-up deal or shirt pull-up, you know, cover your face. It's got to be – that guy's got to come back.
Now, from the angle you did see, did it look like it could be Matt Hardy?
I didn't recognize him. I couldn't place it. I couldn't
I
didn't think so. The only one I could think of was that I wouldn't be able to pick out of a lineup anyway was that Ryan Braddock that was rumored to be in looking at the proposed members of Aces.
That's the guy who was on Big Brother or something?
No, that's that Jesse Goddard's or whatever. But this was a guy that was on SmackDown briefly when they were bringing guys in, like whatever Colt Cabana's name was and all those Sean Spears and all that shit. And he was Ryan Braddock in WWE. His name's Jay Bradley, and he's rumored to be in it. And again, it may very well have been him because I couldn't.
Seems like an odd guy to be running the whole thing. Like I said, I still believe that's going to be.
Well, I don't know that that's the guy that's running it.
You just mean it's a guy who's actually, like I said, I still think that's going to be Abyss, but.
But I think that this is the guy. Maybe if you're going to have Austin Aries fight at the pay-per-view, it's not for the title, but he fights this Aces and Eights.
Because he was a smaller, like a guy more Aries size.
He wasn't huge.
Not like most of the guys on that crew. And by the way, none of those guys, even the bigger guys, they had a slightly different mask this time, a little more elaborate.
Yeah.
But none of these guys look like they're in the type of shape to be Chris Masters. I mean, none of them.
No, you're right.
Even the guy who looks like he's in the best shape of all of them doesn't have Chris Masters build. Or even Harry Smith. Right.
That's true, actually.
So,
that's true. Yeah.
I don't think those guys are in it, but who knows? Again, it's the speculation and it's fun. It is.
I mean, exactly. And then, I mean, most of them, they look more like a Trevor Murdoch, to be honest.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So.
All right. Is that about it for the night?
I think that's it. Pack off the air, and I think we can probably be too. But it's another great rebounded effort for TNA.
Three matches. I haven't seen three matches. I think all three were better than anything I've seen over the last month in WWE. I would give that show an 8.5 out of 10.
One thing we didn't mention that I wanted was the AJ Styles Samoa Joe. Match.
Actually, the finishing sequence is so fucking good. Because we've never seen AJ Styles be going for submissions before. Like, it was so fresh. And I actually thought he was going to win. I mean, it was so good.
Well, the thing was, and I love the fact that the story was, is that he had to go for those submissions just as a shot to be in that final four. So a pinfall did nothing for AJ.
And that's not, and you that know, wasn't it, his forte. On the other hand, he still managed to pull out a bunch of really cool submission moves. Some great chain wrestling.
Yeah.
But like I said, all three matches were terrific. Hardy and Kurt was also great. And they had Jeremy Borash out there giving it the big match feel, announcing it earlier, too. And they did it upright this show.
They did. And I expect, again, given what they've announced for next week, I mean, match-wise, they've got... You know, they've got the two matches, which should deliver. And again, I think you got to throw some X Division stuff back on because they just haven't. You know what I mean? Like, and if there's a pay-per-view, you probably want to have an X Division, I don't know, a match, I would think, right?
Yeah.
So you got to have something that way on it. You won't have this gut check stuff, right? Because that's out of the way for now. So till the next go-round of it. So, yeah, I think that you do that. I think you announce it, the tag. I don't know. You said AJ and Angle, perhaps, because they're not in the Bound for Glory anymore. They've both been eliminated. Let's go back after the tag titles.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know, why not? And it'll be a great match
again, exactly.
Right? So,
exactly. So, could be.
And then you're going to get the final four in a tournament that really, again, any of the four, I mean, assuming you're going to eliminate Bubba out of that, like you said, any of the four you're going to look at and go, you know, this guy could win, except, well, I guess not Rob Van Dam. But, I mean, three of the four, you're going, these guys could
win. And actually, Van Dam is the guy I eliminate next week.
So. I would, too. I'm assuming Bully Ray's going to sign.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Rob Van Dam
exactly.
is the guy.
And then, because there is still the way they've set it up, the slight is Bully Ray the guy behind Aces and Eight thing, too. So, I mean, there's also that, having him in there.
Well,
it's just
Bully
a lot of good
Ray
shit
and
going
Austin.
On.
Hopefully Ray and Austin Aries have that history. Samoa Joe has a history, and then Angle or Hardy's the fresh match.
And they set it up. They set it up with a promo a couple weeks ago between them.
That's right. And Jeff and James Storm has been all along the guy, right? So I mean, the front runner.
Yeah,
is,
the
right?
guy
so
looked like. Out. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And you got to keep in mind, we did not see Bobby Roode. He's kind of being walked out of the company because he's so upset and doesn't know what to do with himself right now. But he's going to show up for Bound of Glory, too. And he's going to need a match with somebody. So we'll see.
With James Storm,
logically.
And
logically,
then,
he screws him in the semifinal match.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's it exactly.
And it means
something
because we haven't seen a fucking shitload of screw job finishes.
and he and Rude isn't on the go home show. He hasn't been. He won't be seen since he walked out, and he comes back to Screwjob Services, and then that leads to their match. That's perfect. Done. Probably booked. And the thing is with this is the difference between sports entertainment right now and TNA is that sports feel.
Yeah.
Right, where they're given, you know, the submission doesn't matter. He's got to do this. It's almost like, you know, the football playoffs where, you know, you look and you say, like, if they win, they need help and they get in.
Like I said, they've like made the Bound for Glory series seem like a marathon, not a sprint. Like, the guy who wins it is really great and he's had to work his ass off for it. And everybody wants it so much. And it, right now, they've made it feel, even though it isn't, they've made a feel to people watching both products like it's more important than the Royal Rumble.
Well, and talk about, you know, your complete opposite of last year's, you know.
Yeah.
Where it was just a joke, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, an asshole was there. Fuck you, Russo.
That's true. Fuck you, Russo.
Hey, Samoa Joe, what do you think of when Russo booked you?
Now that you're in the final four.
Last year when you didn't win a match.
Fuck Russo.
Exactly. No, that's all you need to say. That really is.
And Harold, what did you think of that? Thanks for sharing, Samoa Joe. Thanks.
All right, I'm gonna say We Talk Fantasy Football went up this week. So if you're watching, playing fantasy football, watching it this year, it'll be a weekly show, and we're gonna have some more good stuff coming with that. And other than that, I got no other plugs. I'm Mo_WeTalk on Twitter.
The only other plug I have is your mom.
That's the other plug you have?
Yeah, is your mom. And, yeah, WeTalkWrestling.com. You know, we're on iTunes, Stitcher. We already did our emails, ADDIE@WeTalkWrestling.com. We're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. And, yeah, I think that's going to do it for yet another week. Again, no pay-per-view this Sunday, so we'll have probably a pay-per-view, a post-show next week there, but it's going to do it for this week. So in the meantime, and also in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks. Boobs.